Praise the Lord, all people. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Great is his power, creator of the universe, whose breath gives life, whose hands create beauty, whose love brings freedom, whose glory fills the earth. To you alone our praise we bring. Savior of the world, whose touch gives healing, whose words offer forgiveness, whose suffering brings life, whose death is victory. Great is his power. Praise the Lord, all people. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
In the blue hymnal, and let's stand to sing Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah.
Good morning. Are there any guests who would like to be introduced today? If not, welcome here to everyone. There's a few announcements that I'd like to highlight in the bulletin, just a couple. Just note, there's a couple directory changes. So if you're looking for Henry and Elfrida Dick or Eric and Janet Peters, now you know where to find them. And also, a further note that about our summer series, our favorite Psalms. If you still have a favorite psalm that you'd like to speak to Pastor Gary about, please contact him. And then today's scripture reading is Psalm 103. And today we have it broken into three parts. So this is Psalm 103, 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
So for the past few months, we have been spending time looking at some of the struggles in our life, the areas where we really hurt, the areas where it feels like people don't understand, people aren't listening, and maybe even God isn't there. And this is important. We need to have a sense that not only does God care about the issues that we go through in our life, but God is there with us in the midst of the struggle. And not only that, God has given us each other to hold hands when we go through difficult times, that we care about each other. But that is one perspective. And there's another one which we want to spend a little time looking at today and next Sunday and for a few Sundays. Psalm 103 suggests that not only is God with us in the dark time, but we need to lift our eyes up and look at God and get a new perspective of the world. As Chris was just saying, I've been asking if you have a favorite psalm. Let me know and we'll work at that. And thankfully, four people either let me know or somebody let me know about them. That Psalm 103 is a very important psalm for them. So thanks to Frida and Herta and Eileen and Elsa for letting me talk to you about this a little bit. Essentially what they said was, whatever life brings, God is there to provide what we need to allow life not only to happen, but to be joyful. That God is there to walk with us, to allow us to see the good things that are going on. And God surrounds us with good things. Wonderful people, opportunities. They said the things that God calls us to do are things that bring joy in our life. I just had some marvelous conversations with them. Really enjoyed that. And for those of you who know these people, which is all of you, you know this to be true. These are women who reflect joy in their lives. There's an interesting verse in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The people have been off to slavery in Babylon. They come back. Their houses, their fences, their temple, everything, just a pile of rocks. They go, oh, man, and they start working. And then the neighbors start harassing them. And then Nehemiah and Ezra call them into the temple and say, we want to read you God's laws. And they start reading and they listen to all the things that God wants them to live up to. And they get discouraged. They said, we can't do this. It's too much. The neighbors bugging us, God with high expectations, all this wrecked property. And Nehemiah says, people, this is celebration time. God is here. The God who forgives, the God who brings grace and mercy, the God who brings hope for the future. And then he says in chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we complain, we land up separated and fighting with each other. When we focus on God and experience the joy that God brings, it draws us together. It gives us hope. It gives us a bit of a nudge to get going. And life is good. Sometimes we need to focus on God and the good things that he does for us. In this passage that Chris read, the first five verses are a personal response. And he says in verse 2, praise the Lord and forget not, in the NIV, forget not all his benefits. Now, in a minute, this is a warning, in a minute I'm going to come down with a microphone and I'm going to ask you, what are some of the benefits that God has given you? And I won't surprise you and make you talk, but I'll come down with a microphone and ask you to put up your hand. And it might be something as simple as thank God for the beautiful weather. Thank God for being with me when we went through a wonderful time of celebration or difficult times. Thank God for what He did for us coming out of Ukraine all those years ago. So, this is your 3-minute warning. Chapter 3. The psalmist says, forget not all of his benefits, and he launches into, and he mentions 5 things. Not an exhaustive list, just stuff in his life. So the first thing is, he says, he forgives all our sins. Now, that doesn't mean God says, they don't matter, forget it. They matter very much. And when it says that God forgives our sins, what it means is God comes down, we take a look at what's going on, God addresses them, God deals with them, and then God changes us so that we're not like that anymore. One of my favorite pictures of forgiveness is the prophet Hosea. If you read the first half of the book, it's a very interesting and almost weird story. God says to Hosea, by the way, Hosea, excuse me, your life is going to be an example for people. You know, when God comes with that, when you go, oh man. So he says, I want you to go down to the slave market and buy a prostitute, but treat her like your wife. Love, respect, you know, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so he goes down there and he finds this woman called Gomer. You know, you're starting on the left foot when you start with that. But anyhow, he buys this woman, brings her home, treats her like his wife. Dignity and respect, you know. This is your closet and what kind of pattern you want on the china and all that stuff. And everything goes well until she gets itchy feet and she's gone. Working the circuit again. Lands up back in the slave market. So what does Hosea do? Goes back and says, you had it all, woman, and you blew it. No, he goes down there, hauls out his checkbook, buys her again, brings her home, and treats her with dignity and respect and love. Isn't that a beautiful picture? She didn't deserve it the first time, for sure didn't deserve it the last time. And so what is he saying? Very clearly, God's love is just crazy. God will always embrace us with his love. Just amazing. Forgiveness is great. Then it says he heals all of our diseases. Now, he obviously doesn't heal everything because, my goodness, if you've been watching the bulletin, we've always got a list of people who are sick and in hospital. Sometimes God miraculously heals. Sometimes God heals through the medical system or through, you know, some herbal remedy or whatever. But the real healing happens in here. You see, our bodies are built to only last so long. 120 years, they say, is kind of the outside limit. And then we all pass away. God calls us all home. So the true healing happens inside. Luke chapter 5. So these friends have this friend who's got crippled legs. And they said, let's bring him to Jesus. Jesus will heal him. So you know the story. They climb in the roof and they dig a hole in the roof. Sure, they were real popular with the owner of the house. Let him down in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. And people say, what? First of all, he didn't come to get his sins forgiven. He came to get fixed. And secondly, who do you think you are that you can forgive sins? And Jesus says, he came for healing, and I healed him. But if you want to know whether I have authority to do this, then he heals the guy's legs. Kind of just to show them that the other healing really happened. God comes to heal us spiritually so that we reconnect with God, so that we can be the people God wants us to be. The third thing, to save us from the pit, however the words go there. Redeem our life from the pit. Now, there's some question about what this means, but this is what makes sense to me. Our lives are something that we have to invest. At the end of the day, the year, our life, we sit down and we say, was our life well spent? Did I invest myself today in a good way or not? And we take a look at our life, and once we're at the end looking back, it's a little late to fix things. And so we are invited to live a life worthwhile. Paul is a good example for me. So Paul is a flaming success. He's young, he's educated, He's well-spoken. He's full of beans. He's out there going to get the Christians. And he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus says, "Hold it, buddy. What do you think you're doing?" And he has this little talk, and he turns his life around. He saves his life from the pit of pointlessness. And he makes his life worthwhile. Remember what Paul says at the end of the life? "I've run the race. I've lived faithfully, and now I'm ready for God to take me home." The invitation for us to live a whole life. He crowns us with love and compassion. My goodness, folks, we could be here till about 5 this afternoon on that one. We summarize it by saying this. They were embraced by God. They experienced the unconditional love and care of God. Amazing. Remember the story in Luke 7 of the woman who comes to anoint Jesus' feet with perfume and with her tears. And all the people around are saying, "If Jesus knew what kind of woman she was," and then they say, "All this money, it could have been used." And Jesus says, "Hey, you come here and all you want to do is argue with me." She came as a response of joy because she experienced the love and compassion of God through me. She felt embraced and cared for by God through the work of Jesus. And it just turned her life around. And she experienced joy. Isn't that amazing? And the last one, he writes in verse 5, he fills our life with good things. Got to be careful with this one. What are good things? Well, the world around us is pretty clear on this one. Good things are stuff, power, position, authority, influence, all those kinds of things. But what are good things that God gives us? The good things that God gives us are a sense of belonging, a sense that we matter. And so God comes to us and he says, "I want you to experience all the good things that I want to give you." Ah, yes, I forgot the story here. The woman at the well. The woman at the well knew early in life what she wanted. She wanted a man. And that was going to make her life whole and full. And by the time she meets Jesus, she's had a whole list of them. And there she is, outside by the well, alone. Nobody wants her around. Not even the other women in town want her around. They don't trust her because they've got husbands. They say, "Hey, you're around. We don't know if we got a husband by the end of the day. So get out of town." And Jesus comes along and he gives her something that fulfills her life, that gives her what she truly needs, which is a sense of respect and belonging and dignity. She walks out of there with her head held high, saying, "I am important." She tried the argument route. She tried to justify herself. Jesus just kind of cut through it all and said, "You know what, lady? You're important. And all these little things, they don't matter. Here's what really matters. God loves you and cares for you and has a plan for you." So those are 5 things that the psalmist comes up with when he says, "Forget not all his benefits." So I thought for sharing today, I would ask you, what are some of the things that God has done for you that you would like to share? Does anybody have anything? Could even be brief. While you're thinking, let me mention 2 from my life. One of the things that God has done for me, for us, is give us you. It's been wonderful. It's a year and a half now that we've been here, and you continue to amaze us with your kindness and your love and your acceptance and your friendship. So that's one of the things that we say thanks to God for. Another one, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say, a grandson, a grandchild. Until now, people would talk about grandchildren, and I thought, whatever, another little kid running around to change diapers and so forth. But guess what? This one's different. This one's mine. So those are a couple of things that God has done to enrich my life in the last while. Does somebody have something that you would like to say about how God has enriched your life?
That Abe and I are still together after almost 53 years.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
I would say the biggest thing in our family's life was that we came to Canada.
Huge, the way that God worked in that way. Thanks, Courtney. Anyone else? Hans.
This one would not be so much for me, but for my grandnephew. He was born out of wedlock, and consequently he would have been considered pariah. But my brother laid hands on him, asked for God's blessing upon him. And what's happened to this boy that nobody really wanted except the parents? The thing is this, he's 15 years old, 6'3", beat on 2 championship teams, and has sports an average of 85%. That is something to praise God for. God delivers, not just in our so-called spiritual thing aspects, but in our lives.
Thanks, Hans. When we bring our children to God for a dedication, we are saying, God, we know you're going to fill their lives with good things. And so we need to remind them once in a while about that. Does anybody else would like to share?
Excuse me, yes. Just experiencing healing through God's love and all the support of people in this church. Thanks.
Thanks, Helga. That's huge. The way that God brings healing in our lives in the way that we need it. Don't mean to make anybody uncomfortable, but if there's somebody else who's just itching to put their hand up, it would be a good time now.
Speaking, is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, it is on. No, I just thank God for the parents that I had. And, you know, I was just born, and I was lucky that God gave me the parents that I had. They gave me a wonderful life, and I think they taught me right from wrong.
In response to what you just said, I'd like to say that, and I'd like to think that I'm speaking for the congregation, that we are thankful for having Gary and Carol Martins here.
Thanks, Ernie. We certainly have felt loved and cared for. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Okay. Then I'm going to give you homework. Today, before you go to bed, I want you to write down a list of at least 5 things that God has done for you that enrich your life. We should do that every day, to remind us about how wonderful God is, and that will turn things around and give us a smile. So, before you go to bed, 5 things, okay?
If you now bow your heads and join with me in prayer. God of life, we look to you for your resurrection, your power. You are faithful and gracious. We pray for ourselves, and we pray for those dear to us. In particular today, we pray for those among us in hospital and in personal care homes. We pray for Louise Lage, Mary Pankratz, Anna Dick, and in care homes, Katharina Wagner, Margarete Berg, Martin Bergen, Agnes Dirksen, John Goosen, John Gunther, Susanna Harder, Anna Hildebrandt, Peter Jansen, Elizabeth Clausen, Margarete Clausen, Henry Klein, Dagmar Redekop, Maria Wiens, Jake Dick, Mary Gunther, Annie Stein, Hildegard Knopf, and Rob Bell. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray for compassion for all that you have made. We pray for our community, and we pray for our neighbors. And today, I would particularly like to pray for Band 40 on the Shoal Lake Reserve. For the longest time, they have been without access to the mainland that's year-round, and also without clean water. I ask that we as a country and as a province and as a city, as individuals, can have mercy on them. From you, every family on earth takes its name. We pray for the world, we pray for our enemies, and we pray for those who are in conflict. In particular today, I'd like to pray for the ongoing conflicts in Afghanistan and in Syria, in Iraq, and all those affected by Boko Haram. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, I'd like to take some time for us to all offer up other concerns that we carry in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of new beginnings, you raise us from the grave, and you draw us into your glory. In your love, release us from all that binds us to death, that we may be eternally bound to you. Amen.
As a continuation of our prayer, let's turn to number 76 in the blue hymnal. Praise, I will praise you, Lord. We'll sing all three of the English verses.
Beautiful song, so simple, and yet if we allow that to come from our hearts, it really affects who we are. Well now, I see about four children. I mean, we're all young at heart, but I'm hoping you'll come to the front and join me here for a few minutes. I'll try and tempt you. So how's the move? Yeah, you could, I guess. You have your own bedrooms? Wow, that is so cool. And you got them painted? Well, that is wonderful. How are you today? Good. Wonderful. You too? You're good too? You guys are amazing. So, if I asked you what in the whole world would make you happy if you could have anything you wanted, what would it look like? You can't say different parents. That's, you can't do. Okay. What would make you happy? Moving to Hawaii? Probably, especially in about January. What do you wish for? Don't know. I bet you do. Nothing? Being sisters with your best friend. I mean, you're... Okay, we won't push that one either. Okay. That would be kind of... Maybe she can just move in with you. That'd be... Would you even share a room with her? All right. Well, when we think of what would make us happy in the whole world, there are different things we think about. Sometimes, when I was younger, I would think, chocolate. All the chocolate I could have would make me happy. Do you ever eat a solid chocolate Easter bunny after Easter? By the time you get down to about his tail, you're going, ugh, too much chocolate. But before you have it, it seems so exciting. And then when you get there, it seems like, too much. So it's kind of hard to know exactly what makes us happy. Probably lots of things make us happy. But the Bible tells us that God makes us happy by loving us and caring for us and walking with us and helping us to grow into who He calls us to be. Now, there's an interesting story in the Bible. You know the story of Noah and the flood? You know the story, right? Big boat out there floating around. Well, we're going to start after they're floating around and they're just come to settle down. And they're settling down, and then there's a special, it's called a covenant. It's like a promise God makes. All the way through the Bible, God makes promises. He says, I will be your God if you obey me. I will be your God, but you have to do this. But this time he didn't say anything we had to do. He just say, I will always love you and care for you. And then what did he put in the sky? Rainbow. And every time we see the rainbow, we're reminded to think about that. That God loves us so, so much. So I was thinking, how could we remember the rainbow? What's a good way to remember the rainbow? Skittles! Absolutely. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a minute to pray. And then I would like to ask the four of you, if you would take this and go down the aisle and give Skittles to everybody. Make sure you hang on to a couple of packs for yourself. And then hand the rest out. And you know what you want to watch? Watch people smile when you give them to them, okay? Going to get a huge smile. And that smile means they're happy to have Skittles. But they're also happy because they're remembering how much God loves them. Because that makes us happy. So let's pray. Thank you, God, that you love us very, very much. We know you love everyone, even the people who are having a hard time. So help them to feel your love, too. Thank you for the promise that you would always love us that you gave to Noah, and be with us today as we remember all the good things you've done for us. Amen. So if I can ask one of you to hold us and the rest of you grab package and you just, well, maybe just hand it to them because we don't want them to get bonked. But make sure you take a few for yourself first, okay? All right, off you go. Okay, so if you can each take a big handful and go hand them out, and at the end make sure you have your own. Perfect. Thank you. I'd like to ask the ushers to come up for the offering, please.
Psalm 103, 6 to 18. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like the flower of a field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
Boy, I hope you have the time bake set. Kidding, this will be short. The passage that we read earlier was in the psalmist sort of pouring out of his heart what he felt. Verses 6 to 18 are talking about God in history. He starts by talking about the Egyptians and how God cared for the Israelites when they were slaves. Now, very often when we think about God, and we've discussed this before, we think about God in obtuse ways often. God is eternal. God is the greatest, all-knowing. I think the Westminster Confession said, God is that which nothing greater can be conceived. What does that even mean? So beyond the parameters of what we can think about. But when the Bible talks about God, the Bible's discussion about God is in terms that are relational. And the one term that is first and foremost is love. Now, when we look through this passage from verses 6 to 18, there are three words that stand out. The first is love. God is love. Now, we've already talked about Hosea, and there's so many examples in the Bible where God's love existed. The one with Hosea shows that God's love goes beyond what we can imagine. Another good one is the one found in John chapter 8, the woman caught in the act of adultery. And we've gone there already. How do you catch one person in the act of adultery? But we'll leave that for the lawyers to figure out another day. The point here is that the people said to Jesus, love the law, which means, you know, throw the book at her and let's stone her. And Jesus goes, just a minute. My love is for people. And the love is there to reestablish connection. And so God reaches out to love her as God reaches out to love us. And the intention of God's love is to draw us back. Draw us back. True love, 1 Corinthians 13, true love is something which makes us feel whole. We feel cared for. We feel like we're valuable. We feel respected. All those things that we mentioned earlier. Verse 8 talks about God abounding in love. Isn't that a great word? Abounding. Just sounds like he's just kind of all over the place. The second word is one of the clearest definitions of a word without actually saying the word. And that is forgiveness. It says here, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God separates our sins from us. Our iniquities, I think, is a term that it's used in the NIV. So that doesn't mean from BC to Quebec. It means the opposite extremes of whatever could be. Another place it talks about at the bottom of the ocean. God's forgiveness, as we mentioned earlier, isn't something which sweeps things under the rug, but something which deals with things. My favorite story, you know this one already, the prodigal son. We're talking about the first brother. One of these days, Brian Dick told me he's going to have a sermon on the second brother, so we'll wait for that one. But what happened here? The brother walks out the door, slams the door, and he says to his dad, as far as I'm concerned, you are dead. I'm better off without you. Roll the cash in his pocket. Off he goes. And once he's burned through the cash, he's sitting there with the pigs, you know the story, and he says, I would do better at home in the servants' quarters. And so for personal reasons, to make his life better, he goes back home. And this is where forgiveness comes in. What does the father say? He starts doing the apology that he's memorized, and his dad says, no. You are forgiven. He doesn't get his years back. He's burned up a few years acting like whatever out there in the big city. He doesn't get his inheritance back. There are consequences to sin that even forgiveness doesn't put back in place. But what does he get? Relationship. You're my son. We put on the fatted calf. There's nothing you can do that will take you away from being my son. That's what God offers us. I know many people who within families have family members who estrange themselves, pull away. And you see the pain and the hurt. And you see when they finally come back that they are embraced by the family. My goodness. The warmth and caring that is there. Then they understand forgiveness. They don't deserve it. They deserve to be told, get lost. But the door is open again. Amazing picture. And that's what God does for us. No matter what we've done, no matter how terrible or crazy of things we've done, we walk in the door and God says, ah, my daughter, my son, welcome home. Always, always, always. The third word in this passage is compassion. As a father has compassion on his children. Interesting that he didn't use the word mother. He used the word father. Now, compassion is, well, you know what compassion is. Sympathy, empathy, caring, kindness, wishing the best for. And so God reaches out and wishes the best for us. He sees us and he wants life to be all it can be for us. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan comes along the road and there's this beat up guy in the ditch. Boy, he should downshift and put it to the floor and be gone. Maybe the robbers are still around. Maybe it's a trap. Doesn't know. But what does he do? He exercises compassion. He's from a different country, from Samaria. He has a different religion. He's hated by the people around here. There's every reason not to go there. But at personal cost of safety, I mean, he doesn't know if the robbers are hiding around the bush to get the first guy who stops to help. At inconvenience, he puts this guy on his donkey and he walks beside. At personal cost, he pays for the hotel or hospital or whatever that the guy goes to. He takes care of him. Why? Because he's compassionate. He sees a need and he responds. And what the psalmist is saying is, that's God. He sees a need within us. And God responds because he's caring. He's kind. He's understanding. He's sympathetic. He's empathetic. He's all those things. And he reaches out to us. What the psalmist is saying here is, people, look at who God is. He loves you. He forgives you. He's compassionate and caring for you. There's nothing you can do to chase him away. He's always there to help you be all that he has meant for you to be. Well, that's the story of God. I like the way that Paul puts it in Ephesians 3. Exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we ask or imagine. Like, God blows our mind with how much he cares about us. And you know what, folks? It's not done. God is still reaching out to you and to me. Hallelujah.
Please take the insert in your bulletin and let's sing, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever. You'll notice that you sing it through once and you get almost to the end and then you go back to the beginning, sing two lines, and then you end up, then you sing the last line. So please stand.
The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Great is thy faithfulness. And I just lost the number, so 327. Let's sing verses 1 and 3.